Questioning Paul, Chapter 7, Part 1. Torah, Teaching and Guidance.
Are we saved or enslaved by observing the Torah? At long last we have arrived at the verses cited by a New Zealand radio program which ultimately prompted this review of Paul's letters, especially Galatians. The Christian's message, one predicated upon Paul's epistle, stressed that we are not required to pay attention to the Torah because it has been replaced by faith in the gospel of grace. And while that is consistent with what Schwoel has written, it is amazing that such a preposterous notion has fooled so many for so long. Paul's testimony in this regard was based upon a twisted portrayal of Abraham and his participation in the covenant offered by Yahweh. And what makes that perplexing is that this man and his relationship with God would be unknown to us if not chronicled in the Torah. So how, Christians, can the only account of the covenant be irrelevant to the covenant? How can Abraham's response and reward disavow the words written about these things? And if Abraham matters, why was the covenant he formed with God besmirched and dismissed by Paul, only to be replaced by his new covenant? Before we resume our consideration of Paul's assault on Yahweh's Torah, since most readers may be somewhat unfamiliar with Yahweh's teaching, a quick review of God's perspective on his Torah is in order. However, for those of you who would prefer a more detailed presentation of the Torah's role in our lives, this would be a wonderful time to take a break from questioning Paul to systematically consider what God has to say about his foundational text. In an introduction to God, www.introtogod.org www.introtogod.org > Volume 3, you will find a comprehensive evaluation of Yahweh's Torah teaching. Part 1 presents what the Torah says about itself. Part 2 delves into what can be gleaned from comments made about the Torah in the Proverbs and Psalms. Part 3 is my favorite, because it is devoted to greatest song ever written, presenting David's lyrics on how to properly observe, actually understand, and intelligently respond to the Torah. And then in part 4, most everything Yahweh revealed about his Torah through his prophets is presented for your consideration. Now, for those who would prefer a quick review, please consider the following citations regarding the Torah, the terms and conditions of its covenant, and the overall relevance of the words and teaching of Yahweh.
Listen, children, to the correct instruction of the Father, and pay attention so as to know and acknowledge understanding and discernment. For indeed such teaching and learning is good, beneficial, and helpful. For this reason I have given you my Torah. You should not forsake, neglect, or reject it. Indeed, I have and will actually come to exist as a son to approach the kind and merciful Father, the only begotten and unique Son by way of the Mother's presence. And he has and will teach me, and he said to me, accept, uphold, fulfill, and keep my words upon your heart. Focus upon and closely observe my terms and conditions and life. Proverbs 4 verses 1 to 4, the Torah is light and the way of life. Proverbs 6 verse 23, my son, choose to actually observe my words, and my terms and conditions, you should habitually treasure and store with you. Choose to keep focused upon, closely examine, and carefully consider my terms and conditions and life. My Torah teaching should be as the pupil, the center, and the focus of your eyes and understanding. Proverbs 7 verses 1 to 2, the wicked arrogantly boast and make fools of themselves by abandoning and rejecting the Torah. And those who observe, focusing upon the Torah, they take the initiative to oppose and resist them. Evil individuals do not apprehend or teach good judgment. But those who diligently seek Yahweh consider and understand everything. Proverbs 28 verses 4 to 5, the one who turns away his ear from hearing the Torah, his prayers and requests also will be considered detestable. The one who misleads the upright in the way of evil, into the pit, he will fall and be cast down, but the innocent will enjoy a good, generous, festive, and beneficial inheritance. Proverbs 28 verses 9 to 10, Without revelation, people take charge and run wild. But he is happy and blessed. He walks upright on the correct path who observes and focuses upon the Torah. Proverbs 29 verse 18, blessed and happy is the individual who does not walk in the plans and schemes of the wicked who violate the standard, and in the way of sinners, he does not stand, in the assembly of those who arrogantly mock, he does not stay. To the contrary, instead in the Torah of Yahweh, he finds enjoyment and pleasure, and regarding the Torah, he speaks thoughtfully and purposefully in the daytime and at night. Psalm 1 verses 1 to 2, Yahweh's Torah is wholly complete and entirely perfect, returning, restoring, and transforming the soul. Yahweh's restoring testimony is trustworthy and reliable, making understanding and obtaining wisdom easy for those who are receptive. Yahweh's directions are right, causing the heart to rejoice. Yahweh's terms and conditions are morally pure and are purifying, shining a light toward understanding. Revering and respecting Yahweh is cleansing and restoring, sustaining and establishing forever. The just means to resolve disputes of Yahweh are trustworthy and reliable. They are wholly vindicating. Psalm 19 verses 7 to 9.
With that introduction from Yahweh, the man who claimed to speak for God began his crusade against him by writing these words.
Paulos, an apostle, not of men, not even by the means of man, but to the contrary on behalf of Jesu Christu and God, Father of the one having awakened him out of a dead corpse, 1 verse 1, and all the brothers with me to the called out of the Galatians, 1 verse 2, grace to you and peace from God, Father of us and Lord Jesu Christu, 1 verse 3, the one having given himself on account of the sins and errors of us, so that somehow, he might gouge or tear out, uprooting us from the past circumstances of the old system which had been in place, which is disadvantageous and harmful, corrupt and worthless, malicious and malignant according to the desire and will of God and Father of us, 1 verse 4, to whom the opinion regarding the glorious appearance of the shining light, a manifestation of God's reputation, by means of the old and the new systems, amen, let it be so, 1 verse 5, I am astonished, wondering in this way quickly you changed, becoming disloyal, apostates and traitors away from your calling in the name of grace to a different beneficial messenger, 1 verse 6, which does not exist differently, conditionally negated because some are stirring you up, confusing you, proposing to change and pervert the healing message of Christ, 1 verse 7, but to the contrary, if we or a messenger out of heaven conveys a beneficial messenger to you which is contrary to what we delivered as a good messenger to you, then a curse with a dreadful consequence exists. 1 verse 8, as we have said already, and even just now, repetitively, I say, if under the conditions someone communicates a useful message to you contrary, even greater than that which you received, it shall be, in fact I command and want it to exist as, a curse with a dreadful consequence. 1 verse 9, for because currently, men I persuade presently, actually use words to win the favor of, seducing, misleading, and appeasing the God. Or by comparison and contrast, I seek and desire to please and accommodate humans. Yet nevertheless, if men, I was pleasing and accommodating, exciting the emotions of and lifting up a slave of Christu, certainly not was me, 1 verse 10, but nevertheless, I profess and reveal to you brothers of the beneficial message which having been communicated advantageously by and through myself, because it is not in accord with man, 1 verse 11, but neither because I by man associating myself with it, nor was I taught or instructed as a disciple, but to the contrary, by way of a revelation, an appearance serving to uncover and unveil Iesu Christu, 1:12. For because indeed you heard of my wayward behavior in some time and place in the practice of Judaism, namely that because throughout, showing superiority, surpassing any measure of restraint, to an extraordinary degree, and better than anyone else, I was aggressively and intensely pursued, persecuting, oppressing, and harassing the called out of God, and I was and am devastating her, continuing to undermine, overthrow, and annihilate her, 1:13, and so I was and continue to progress, accomplishing a great deal, and I persist moving forward in the practice of Judaism, over and beyond many contemporaries among my race, zealous and excited, devoted and burning with passion to belong to the traditions and teachings handed down by my forefathers. 1:14, but at a point in time when it pleased and was chosen enjoyable and better for God, the one having appointed me, setting me aside out of the womb of my mother, 1:15, to reveal and disclose, uncovering and unveiling the Son of Him in order that I could announce the healing message among the races, immediately. I did not ask the advice of or consult with flesh or blood. 1:16, I did not ascend into Jerusalem toward the goal of being with or against the apostles before me, but to the contrary I went away, withdrawing to Arabia, and returned again to Damascus. 1:17, then later in the sequence of events, after 3 years' time, I ascended up to Jerusalem to visit and get acquainted with Cephas and remained against/with him 15 days. 1:18, but other of the apostles, I did not see, I did not pay attention to, or concern myself with except Jacob, the brother of the Lord, 1:19. But now what I write to you, you must pay especially close attention in the presence of God, because I cannot lie, 1:20. Thereafter, I came to the regions of Syria and also of Cilicia, 1:21, but I was not known and was disregarded, I was either ignored or ignorant, not recognized or understood, personally by appearance as an individual by the called out of Yehudah in Christo, 1:22. But then only they were constantly hearing that the one presently pursuing and persecuting us at various times now he presently proclaims a healing message of faith which once he was attacking, continuing to annihilate, he was consistently ravaging and destroying. 1:23, and so they were praising and glorifying, attributing an exceptionally high value and status, considering illustrious and magnificent, dignifying and magnifying in me for God, 1:24. Later, through 14 years also, I went up to Jerusalem along with Barnabas, having taken along also Titus, 2:1, I went up from uncovering and unveiling revelation which lays bare, laying down to them the beneficial messenger which I preach among the races down from my own, uniquely and separately, but then to the opinions, presumptions, and suppositions, into foolishness and stupidity, without purpose, I might run or I ran, 2:2, to the contrary, not even Titus, a Greek being, was compelled, forced or pressured, to be circumcised. 2:3, but then on account of the impersonators who faked their relationship brought in surreptitiously into the group to spy upon and plot against the freedom from conscience and liberation from the constraints of morality that we possess in Christo Jesu in order that as they will actually make subservient, controlling for their own ends, 2:4, to whom neither to a moment we yielded, surrendered, or submitted in order that the truth of the God may continue to be associated among you, 2:5, but now from the ones currently presumed and supposed to be someone important based upon some sort of unspecified past. They were actually and continue to be nothing, completely meaningless and totally worthless, to a me. It carries through and bears differently the face of God of man not take hold of or receive, because to me, the ones currently presuming and dispensing opinions based upon reputed appearances, of no account, worthless was their advice and counsel in the past. 2 verse 6, contrariwise, nevertheless, the objection and exception, having seen and perceived that because namely I have been believed entrusted with the healing message and beneficial messenger of the uncircumcised inasmuch as Petros / Hawk of the circumcised. 2 verse 7, because then namely, the one having previously functioned in Petro to an apostle for the circumcision, it actually functioned also in me to the nations and ethnicities. 2 verse 8, and having recognized, becoming familiar with the grace of the one having been given to me, Jacob, Cephas, and also Yahweh Shannon, the ones presently presumed and supposed to be leaders, the right place of honor and authority they granted to me, and to Barnabas fellowship as a result, we to the nations and ethnicities, but they to the circumcision. 2 verse 9, only alone by itself the lowly and poor, the worthless begs of little value that we might remember and possibly think about which also I was eager and quick same this to do. 2 verse 10, but when Cephas came to Antioch, I was opposed to and against his presence. I stood in hostile opposition because he was convicted and condemned, even ignorant. 2 verse 11, because, before a certain individual came from Jacob, he was eating together with the different races, but when he came, he was withdrawing and was separating himself, out of fear of the circumcised. 2 verse 12, so they were hypocritical, and also the remaining Yehudim. As a result even Barnabas was led away and astray with them in the duplicities of hypocrisy. 2 verse 13, nevertheless, when I saw that they were not walking through life rightly with the truth of the healing and beneficial messenger, I said to Cephas in front of all, if you Jews actively being ethnic, how the ethnicities you compel and force into being or acting Jewish? 2 verse 14, we Jews by nature and not from the social outcasts of sinful and heathen races. 2 verse 15, having come to realize without investigation or evidence that by no means whatsoever is made right, vindicated, or righteous man by means of tasks or activities associated with the Torah if not by belief and faith in Isu Christu, and we on Christen Isan, ourselves believed in order for us to have become righteous, to have been acquitted and vindicated out of faith in Christu, and not by means of acting upon or engaging in the Torah, because by means of engaging in and acting upon the Torah not any flesh will be acquitted, vindicated, nor be made righteous. 2 verse 16, but if seeking to be made righteous and innocent in Christo, we were found also ourselves social outcasts and sinners, shouldn't we be anxious that Christos becomes a guilty, errant, and misled, servant of sin? Not may it exist. 2 verse 17, because if that which I have actually torn down, dissolved, and dismantled, invalidated and abolished, subverted, abrogated, and discarded, this on the other hand I restore or reconstruct, promoting this edifice, I myself bring into existence and recommend transgression and disobedience. 2 verse 18, I then, because of, and by the Torah's allotment or law, myself, actually died and was separated in order that to God I might currently live. In Christo I have actually been crucified together with. 2 verse 19, I live, but no longer I he lives then in me, Christos. This because now I live in the flesh, in faith I live of the God and Christu, the one having loved me and surrendered, entrusting authority, yielding and handing over the power to control, influence and instruct, and to betray exclusively and especially of himself for the sake of and because of me. 2:20, I do not reject or disregard the charity/grace of the God if because then by or through the Torah righteousness consequently as a result, Christos undeservedly, for no reason or cause, without benefit, for naught, and in vain, he died. 2:21, O ignorant and irrational, unintelligent and unreasonable, Galatians, to whom you bewitched, deceived, and slandered, brought evil upon and seduced. 3:1, this alone I want to learn from you. Out of accomplishments of the Torah the Spirit you received or alternatively out of hearing of belief. 3:2, in this way, you are ignorant and irrational, lacking in knowledge and unable to think logically. Having become with Spirit, now in flesh you are completing. 3:3, so much and so long these things you suffered, you were affected and you were vexed, annoyed, and angry, without reason or result, even chaotically without a plan. If indeed, really and yet then also thoughtlessly and for nothing without cause, reason, or result. 3:4, the one therefore then supplying you the Spirit and causing to function and operating powers in you out of acting upon and engaging in the tasks delineated in the Torah or out of hearing faith. 3:5, just as and to the degree that Abram believed and had faith in the God so it was reasoned and accounted to him as righteousness. 3:6, you know as a result that the ones out of faith, these sons are Abram. 3:7, having seen beforehand then by contrast, the writing, that because out of faith makes right the people from different races and places, the God, he before beneficial messenger acted, to the Abram that they would in time be spoken of favorably in you to all the races. 3:8, as a result, the ones out of faith, we are spoken of favorably, even praised together with the faithful Abram. 3:9.
Given the choice between relying upon Yahweh's word or believing what was scribed in Shaul's letters, it is a wonder three people, much less 3 billion, chose to place their faith in this man. It is also hard to imagine that someone claiming to speak for God would call his Torah a curse, but nonetheless, that is precisely what the founder of the Christian religion said next.
Because to the degree that out of tasks and activities of the Torah, they are and they exist under a curse, for it has been written that, to become accursed, everyone who not remains in all that having been written in the scroll of the Torah, the of to do them, Galatians 3:10.
This is the ultimate confession, and for informed and rational individuals, the case is closed. The testimony Yahweh has called good, beneficial, and perfect, Shaul has just labeled abhorrent and malicious. Since both cannot be telling the truth, who do you suppose is lying? We have comprehensively researched every discernible connotation of nomos. And here, Shaul has finally and openly confessed to what we have long since known. He is using noma to describe the Torah, as if nomos and Torah were synonymous. We know this because in the attempt to prove this point he translated the Hebrew word Torah into Greek as noma. As a result, Pauline apologists can no longer promote the myth that Paul was condemning rabbinic law instead of the Torah without contradicting Paul's own testimony. With this single statement the debate is over, the question has been answered. Paul is demeaning and denouncing not just the word of God, but Yahweh's foundational testimony. Beyond emphatically demonstrating that Shaul was using variations of nomos to convey Torah, throughout his letters, by rendering Torah as noma, to be intellectually honest the meaning of Torah in Hebrew, which is teaching, instruction, direction, and guidance, must prevail over law. Therefore, not only is Paul implicating himself by disparaging the Word of God, those who publish Christian Bibles are universally guilty of misrepresenting one of the most important words ever written when they render Torah via Moses' law. While Shaul has bragged about annulling and destroying Yahweh's teaching, he has now upped the ante. He has devolved to name-calling. Ketara, translated a curse, is actually a considerably more demeaning concept. This noun is defined in the dozen lexicons at my disposal as being an execration, imprecation, and malediction. Since these are not common terms, let's consider how they are defined. To execrate is to denounce someone or something, declaring it or them to be hateful, abhorrent, and loathsome. To imprecate is to invoke evil on someone or something, cursing them or it. And a malediction is slander which maligns and is malicious. If we are to believe Shaul, all of these things apply to Yahweh and to his Torah. Ketara is a compound tavara, a malevolent prayer which is harmful, hateful, and repugnant, and kata, meaning down from, according to, and throughout. Therefore, there is no getting around the fact that Shaul is denouncing Yahweh's Torah because he loathes it. Shaul wants us to believe that the book Yahweh authored to introduce himself, to reveal his covenant, to present his invitations, and to provide his guidance is hateful and abhorrent, something to be maligned because it is evil, slanderous, harmful, and malicious throughout. This known, I have a confession. I joined the two verbs in the opening statement together because of the second insertion of isn, which means they are or they exist, when it is scribed in the third person plural, is out of place at the statement's conclusion. According to the Nestle-Aland, this sentence actually reads,
"For as many as from works of law are under curse they are."
Therefore, I combined the verbs to convey the concepts of being and existing. In both instances, isn was scribed in the present active indicative third person plural. In the present tense, Paul is portraying the evil curse as being in process with no end in sight. The active voice reveals that those who have chosen to observe the Torah have brought this abhorrent, harmful, and repugnant condition upon themselves. Worse, in the indicative mood, Paul is saying that his evaluation of the Torah and its consequence is real, genuine, and actual. Shaul used a variation of ketara to convey cursed, in his citation of the Torah's Deuteronomy 27 verse 26. This variation is from epikateratos, an adjective that adds the prefix epit, meaning on, upon, before, or against. As such, Paul is attempting to ascribe each of the horrendous aspects of ketara to the Torah, itself, impugning its author, by inserting this abhorrent concept directly into the Torah's dialogue. And yet, I've seldom been as pleased to see the Torah quoted. By doing so in this context, Shaul is affirming beyond any doubt that the Naaman he is attempting to destroy is the one Yahweh authored. If he had meant to demean rabbinic law, he would have quoted from the oral law which became the Talmud.
End of part 1.